Mark chapter 15. Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 15. And I really do want you to listen tonight. I think I can help you. It's a bit of a doctrinal sermon, a bit of a positional sermon, and a bit of a dispositional sermon. Say, what's that mean? I'm going to throw a fit. Mark chapter 15, verse number 34. The Bible says, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come and take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Watch this. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Yeah. If you'll keep your Bibles open for a moment, I'm going to preach tonight on the rent veil. The rent veil. Judas has already betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus has already been falsely accused and tried and found guilty of a crime simply for being the King of Kings. Simply for being the Messiah. They've beaten him. They've taken a cat of nine tails and whipped him with his coat off and been able to pull his insides out through his back. Put his coat back on him and they put a crown of thorns and beat it into his brow with sticks. They walked up to him and grabbed handfuls of his beard and ripped it out of his face. They coughed up phlegm from their throats and spat in his face. They ripped his coat back off, reopening all those wounds, laid him down on the ground and nailed his hands and his feet to an old cross. They hoisted that thing up in the air and they dropped it down into a hole. And when it hit the bottom of the hole, thump, it hit so hard that every joint in his body was pulled out of place. Jesus has been hanging there on that cross for 9 hours here in Mark chapter 15. He has only made six very brief statements. Then he looks to God and he says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, for the last 3 hours, there's been total darkness upon the face of the earth because God the Father and God the Holy Spirit turned their back on Jesus Christ. Say, why did he say, my God, because he was talking to my God the Father and my God the Holy Ghost. He was our God the Son. He was speaking to both. The Bible says that he dropped his head and he gave up the ghost and he died. As soon as he died, not far away in the temple, there was a great event that took place, and that 4 to 6 inch wide curtain that separated the holy place from the holy of holies, the Bible says that that veil was rent from top to bottom. Three out of the four gospels record the tearing of that veil. Why is it so important? It's just a few words. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Oh, only a dozen or so words, but you don't understand the importance of that. Say, why is it so important? Well, number one, this. Jesus died as the Lamb as our sacrifice. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ came as the perfect sacrifice for you and me. He left heaven, was born of a virgin. He did not have man's blood. He had God's blood. He was not Joseph's son. He was God's son. He was God in the flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He didn't become man. He's always been the man part of God. He became flesh that could die. He couldn't die in his heavenly body. He had to put on a body that could die to pay our sin debt. Hang on. Not only was he our sacrifice and our lamb, he was the perfect sacrifice. He was sinless, he was spotless, and he was full of righteousness. You see, all of the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to Jesus. Every turtle dove, every lamb, every ox, every animal that shed its blood was a picture of what Jesus one day would do for us at Calvary. There's no difference between salvation in the Old Testament and salvation in the New Testament. People in the Old Testament looked ahead to what Jesus would do. In the New Testament, we look back at what he did do. The equivalent of the Old Testament sacrifices in the New Testament is the Lord's Supper. Broken body, shed blood. Same thing. But I'll show you the difference. Not only did Jesus shed his blood, that blood had to be put on the mercy seat. The shed blood of Jesus by itself wasn't enough. Once a year, the high priest would have to go sacrifice a perfect lamb. He had to wash himself at the laver and clean himself. He was not allowed to be touched by a human being from that point on, or God would kill him. He would then take a lamb that had been put up, and he would cut its throat and catch the blood in a bowl and grab a hyssop weed. He would walk through the courtyard. He would walk into the holy place. On the right, the table of showbread. On the left, the candlestick. Before him, the altar of incense with the incense that burned eternally towards heaven. Behind that was the veil. Only one time a year, and only the high priest was allowed to go into that holy of holies. In that holy of holies was one piece of furniture, about the size of a Lord's Supper table, had a seat on it called the mercy seat. Inside that chest underneath that was three things, and we won't go into it. It's not a big deal what it was right now. But once a year, that high priest was to take that blood and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. The Shekinah glory of God would come down and hover over that mercy seat, the presence of God. And God was telling his people, I'll be with you again for the following year. After that would take place, the high priest would walk out. He would raise his hands to the congregation and he would say, it is finished. Ooh, what did Jesus say on the cross? He died as our lamb, but he resurrected as our high priest. He was not just the lamb. He had to put his own blood on the mercy seat. You see, Calvary was the Lamb of God, the shedding of the blood, and his blood for our sins. But number two, Jesus was also our high priest. He wasn't just the lamb. Say, why is that, preacher? Because he couldn't trust his blood to anybody else. That was God's blood. It had to be cared for by God himself. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. I've got to hurry. Good night. I'm about ready to kick the devil right square in the teeth. Here we go. You ready? Hebrews chapter 8. Bible says in verse number 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary, of the true tabernacle, watch this, that the Lord pitched and not man. Did you know in heaven there is a tabernacle? It is the one that Moses saw and the one from which God gave him the blueprints in the wilderness in Exodus. It was a picture of the true tabernacle in heaven. Look at verse number 3. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. Wow. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9, one page over. Hebrews chapter 9, look down to verse number 23. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but that the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is entered not into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus Christ died as the Lamb, but he put his blood on the mercy seat as our high priest. That mercy seat is in heaven. Wait a minute. When he died, the veil was rent. He didn't go into the temple and put his blood. He went into the true tabernacle in heaven. Do you remember I said that the high priest couldn't be touched by human hands? Do you remember when he resurrected on Sunday morning? He saw Mary in the road at the cemetery, and she said, Rabboni, and went to hug him. He said, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Yes. Say, why did he say that? He said, don't touch me. I got to go put my blood on the mercy seat. I'll be right back. Go get the disciples. Tell them I'll meet them in the upper room. And Jesus left and went to heaven. He took his blood from his hands, from his side, and he put it on the mercy seat in heaven. And he looked at the Father and said, it's paid in full. Amen. He put his own blood on the mercy seat. You can't lose your salvation. You would have to remove the blood from the mercy seat in heaven, and you can't do it. Nah, 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 nah. Jesus, as our high priest, took care of what was done behind the veil that we could not do. Watch this. Brother C, I'm about to have a fit here. Only the high priest could go behind the veil. Anybody else would be killed. That's why you're not good enough to earn your salvation. You're trying to do Jesus' work behind the veil, and you'll die and go to hell. You needed somebody who could go behind the veil for you and take care of your sin debt for you. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. We won't take time to turn there because Brother C's got to preach too. Not only was he our Lamb, but he was the high priest who could put the blood on the mercy seat, the real mercy seat in heaven. Now watch this. But the veil in the temple was rent. Why? You see, when God tore that veil in the temple down, he was saying, you don't need the temple anymore. You'll have direct access to God. That's why the chief priest got upset with Jesus. He said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up again the third day. They said, look, he's a heretic. It took us decades to build this. And he said, tear it down, I'll build her up in 3 days. And God gave man direct access to God. You don't have to talk through the Pope, Mary, or anybody else. You have direct access to God because he put his blood on the mercy seat. The veil was torn, and you have access to God. Number three, the veil being torn. By the way, notice it was done in the temple, not the church. The veil being torn validated the church and got rid of temple worship. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my what? Okay, you sound like Methodist. Upon this rock I'll build my what? Church. He didn't say build my temple. Matter of fact, my Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, watch this, if you're saved, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is God's. We're not supposed to go to temple. Matter of fact, Jesus started the church and he changed days what day they met. That's right. Temple met on Sabbath, church met on the Lord's day, which is Sunday. He said, you don't need the temple anymore. The veil's been torn down and go to the church. Isn't it amazing? You go to Acts chapter 2 and the disciples, the apostles, were preaching outside the temple. They were proselyting. No, they were going to the place where it had bad doctrine to give them the right doctrine to get them saved. By the way, it was the chief priest who put Jesus at the cross. But the tearing of the veil in the temple was the validation of the church. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Man, I'm used to a bigger pulpit than this. This is a sissy pulpit here. Acts chapter 20, look at verse number 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, watch this, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased, what? With his own blood. Ooh. Did you know the temple wasn't paid for with his blood? The church was paid for with his blood. God didn't die and give us Jesus Christ for the temple. He gave it to us for the church. Well, I could take you to many, many other places. I won't. Jesus fulfilled all of the Levitical priesthood. He fulfilled every one of those things as high priest. He also fulfilled all the sacrifices, all the holy days, all of those things at which the temple was about, pointing to Jesus, but the priests wanted the power, they didn't want to give it to Jesus. And God says, I'll make sure that I'll show you what I'm going to do. And he tore the veil of the temple from top to bottom. Hang on. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse number 14, the Bible says this, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy day or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are the shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. He came and nailed all of those things to the cross. By the way, preacher, Jesus was not of the tribe of Levi, he was of the tribe of Judah. The priest came out of Levi. You can read in the book of Hebrews, you find out that he said, I'll raise up an eternal high priest, not of the tribe of Levi, but of Judah, because there will be some that will worship the priesthood. Wonder who that is. The rent veil gives us direct access to God. Colossians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13, we won't take time to turn there. May I say something to you? You don't need a priest, you already have one. His name is Jesus. You don't need sacraments. He already took care of them at Calvary. You don't need Mary's help. She's not the mother of God. She birthed the body of Jesus. Matter of fact, the angel said, blessed art thou among women. You go to the book of Judges, find out that God said of Deborah, blessed art thou above women. Deborah had a higher standing than Mary did. Well, if we pray through Mary, that's Jesus' mama, and he has to listen to his mama. No, he's got to listen to his daddy. You can't pray to the saints. St. Michael and St. Peter and Holy Eucharist and Holy Cow and Harry Carey and all the others. Folks, I hate to disappoint you. The people in heaven aren't looking down on you right now telling you what to do. That's supposed to be the Holy Spirit's job, not some guy sitting on the cloud sprinkling spoofle dust. Guess what? You don't need to turn from your sin for salvation. So all you have to do is go from trusting your own works to trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't turn from your own sin because you're still a sinner even after you get saved. Guess what? If you're saved, you're not going to be held in judgment for it. Oh, you'll pay the consequences of it here on earth, but you're not going to be judged by God for it. I don't care how much money you give to the church, it's not going to get you to heaven. I don't care how many times you've been baptized, it's not going to get you to heaven. You get saved by trusting what Jesus Christ did and that alone to take you to heaven. Amen. Religion is doing it man's way. Christianity is doing it God's way. Right. Jesus rent the veil, and we now have direct access to God after we get saved. Let me conclude with this. Since Jesus fulfilled the priesthood, since Jesus gave us direct access to God, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you spent time with God? You have direct access to him. How come you don't spend much time with him? How much time are you spending serving Jesus because of the price he paid for you? Are you wasting Calvary on a mere fire insurance policy against hell? Or are you going to take advantage of the whole policy? You see, Jesus gave his life for the church, not just you. We Christians are so selfish. Well, if I was the only one, he would die for me. He didn't die for you. He died to give God the Father what God the Father wanted. Quit being so selfish. Don't you realize that he died for your sins? Yes, but he died for the church too. You think you're more important than the church? You make up the church, but there's more on this earth than just you. There's more on this earth than just me. What are you doing for your church? Are you obeying God with your tithe? Are you obeying God being at church all services? That you can be? Are you obeying God by getting the gospel out to every creature? Are you doing anything at God's church? He tore the veil so you could have direct access to him. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done.